When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What if I told you everything you know about the world is wrong? What if I told you that all the things you believe to be impossible are in fact very much possible? Reality is not what you think it is. It is so much more complicated, fascinating, and above all, terrifying. We are at the fringes of the map, and there's more than just dragons.
Looking at the leader, you notice that he is wearing, in addition to his North Vietnamese uniform, the insignia that Bob pointed out from the photograph. It looks like he's wearing Chinese insignia in addition to his North Vietnamese insignia.
I look like I give the little chin point to indicate to Bob, like, Team 43.
Bob nods, Team 43. The North Vietnamese gesture and they force you to march with them. You're being taken, but you don't know where.
Trying to decide if it's worth telling them that I'm a journalist or if that'll make things worse.
It's up to you.
I'm going to keep quiet for now. So far, every time I've said something, it's only made things worse.
One of the leader actually falls back in position and starts walking next to Lieutenant Anello. He turns to Lieutenant Anello and sneers something at him in Vietnamese. Anello starts responding, Anello, Brian, Lieutenant, serial number. And as he's saying that, Bob, I will roll to see if you understand what that response was.
I mean, Ralph understands.
Yeah, you easily enough. It's a pretty common thing. You know that if captured, that is supposed to be the default response. Your name, your rank, your serial number. Basically,
that's all the information you give them.
That is what Anello is doing, but then Bob interrupts Anello and he says he wasn't asking you a question. Anello turns back. What was he saying? Bob shakes his head.
Go ahead, tell him.
He said we're going to meet someone.
Did he say who we're going to meet, Bob?
Not really. It's kind of implied that he meant God, but at the same time, no.
Did he say Majesty by any chance?
Bob turns around and then nods slowly at you.
This doesn't need saying at this point, but this is definitely not good.
You keep marching. The sun eventually sets. If it hadn't already, actually about by the time that you'd all been reunited, the sun had probably set. You walk for a little bit and then you are in a small North Vietnamese camp. There's maybe about 20 to 25 soldiers here in total. The camp has no lights of any sort. It's very heavily like camouflaged and stuff like that. If you didn't really realize how big the camp was until you were in the middle of it. At first you thought it was maybe just like a couple of trenches and a crate or two, but you realize it's like a proper little camp made to staff for about 25 people.
And where do they take us?
They take you to, there's a bunch of bamboo cages that they put you in.
Of course.
If it wasn't already obvious, you are basically down to pants and a singlet and your boots. They've taken pretty much everything else from you.
The camera?
The camera. Actually, they probably would have taken the camera. You could have said something, though, yeah, as they were doing that, if you wanted to hold on to it. I know it's special to you now.
Yeah, I would have protested. I'd be like, hey, no, I need that camera. Bob, tell them they can't take the camera.
Bob tries to tell them that. They let you keep the camera. They understand that the camera is not going to kill them. They know that it's pretty useless to them anyway.
At this point, if I get out of here with anything, it's got to be that camera or my notes. So we're in a cage now?
Vargas turns to look at you and says, industrious little SOBs, aren't they?
It's hard to appreciate the craftsmanship in this exact moment.
What's this majesty thing? Says Vargas.
So, something extremely weird is going on. You saw the multiple man the other night. Your disappearing guy. And a bunch of other high strangeness, whatever that explosion was. All this is tied into something. I found a notebook on the guy who disappeared. There's one word scribbled in it over and over and over again. Bob said it meant something like majesty. The officer who's taken us just now said that's who we're going to meet. Or that's what we're going to meet. Oh, and these guys are all... That guy in the Chinese uniform over there? I point out the...
The leader, yeah.
The guy that...
He'd be like an equivalent to Lieutenant Anello. Like a lieutenant sort of rank.
From what I can tell, he's connected to a pseudo-occult organization out of China called Team 43. The only theories I have right now are crackpot... Well, the only hypotheses I have right now are crackpot as hell, but I think we might be dealing with something supernatural.
Vargas gives you a side eye, like he's a bit suspicious of the idea that you're dealing with something supernatural, but also things that he can't explain have definitely happened on this mission, so he doesn't say anything. You cast your gaze over to Anello and Summer. You can see that both of them have broken, but in different ways. Anello is sitting in the corner of his cage. You've all been separated into different bamboo cages, but they're all kind of like touching each other. So gotcha. Anello is in the corner of his cage, sitting, staring straight ahead with that 1,000-yard sort of stare that you've seen a couple times now, rocking backwards and forwards and just quietly contemplating. Whereas Summer is standing up in his cage as best as he can, pacing backwards and forwards and mumbling to himself. Anello seems kind of harmless. He seems very passive to the world, but Summer is getting agitated. He looks like he's getting really, really worked up.
How close am I? How like the cages, how far am I from
You could
Summer?
Reach through Can and touch to him if you wanted to. You're quite close.
Oh, we have adjoining suites. Yeah. Hey, Summer. How you doing, man?
Summer ignores you. He just keeps mumbling backwards and forwards. Bob gives you like a worried look.
Hey, Rembrandt, listen, you gotta cool down. If you spook these guys, they're unpredictable, you know?
At about this point, there's several VC guarding your bamboo cages, and they've kind of also noticed that Summer is getting a bit agitated. Every now and then, he kind of like throws himself... No, actually, this is the first time he's done it. He throws himself at one of the corners of his cage, and his cage rocks backwards and forwards a bit.
Whoa, come on. Hey, Picasso, let's take it down a notch. If you attract too much attention to yourself, it's not going to be good.
You're having trouble talking him down. One of the VC soldiers gets off the rock they were sitting on and wanders over to him with their rifle in hand, the bayonet sticking out on the end of the rifle. As they approach, the VC soldier starts saying something at Summer, and Bob translates. He needs you to calm down, dude. He needs you to calm down. Summer still paces backwards and forwards. He throws himself again, and his cage rocks again.
Hey, Carson, listen, if you ever want to see Oklahoma again, man, I need you to just sit down, calm down, all right?
You're getting his attention now, but Summer, you see it's more than just a simple conversation. Summer needs to be taken out of this situation and placed in a very calm space right now, because he is definitely not in a great headspace, but that's just not going to happen. You could keep trying to talk him down, but it looks like you're losing this battle. At least From the approaching soldier, it looks like you're not going to be able to calm Summer down in time.
I got one last thing I want to try. I'm gonna. She's like, fuck. And I start singing out, Oklahoma, where the wind goes sweeping down the plain, where the waving wheat can sure smell sweet. When we go back to there, I can't, Bob, I don't know the words. Bob.
Oklahoma, where the wind blows.
The wind comes right behind the rain.
I'm going to make another check. I'm going to give you a plus one because I don't know if you remember this, but he did say that he loved that musical.
He did say that.
Carson Summer starts calming down. The VC soldier hasn't stopped approaching, though, and Bob translates again as the soldier starts yelling, "Dude, you need to get down. Sit down, put your hands underneath your bum. Please, do it right now." Carson, sighing heavily, slowly complies. The soldier gets right up to Carson's cage and then through the bars of the cage, lightly jabs at Summer with the bayonet. He doesn't do it to, like, hurt him, just to give him a little bit of a pinch.
Yeah, let him know.
That is exactly the wrong thing to do.
Motherfucker.
Carson turns around and tries to grab the gun. The soldier shoots Carson in the gut.
Motherfucker.
Carson collapses into the floor of his cage, bleeding, and spits up blood as he tries to grab the rifle a second time. The soldier shoots a second time, and this bullet hits Carson right in the crown of his head.
All right.
The soldier shoots Carson again three more times to make sure, and then goes back to sit on the rock. You spend a cold, uncomfortable night in those bamboo cages.
Great.
The next day, the soldiers retrieve you from the cages and start marching you again. You recover the bashing damage, and you also recover 1 point of lethal damage. So you now only take -1 to all actions.
How good.
Yeah. You can kind of work out that they're actually still taking you in the direction that you were going anyway. They're taking you back in the same direction as where you started this.
Oh, that first clearing.
Yeah.
With more of those weird graves.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yes.
Although there won't be an extraction team waiting for us, probably.
You have probably missed the window. Actually, you would have been told the time. You know that you, on the march, the helicopter will have come and gone.
Yeah, that's great.
The walk is long. It's, again, 10 North Vietnamese soldiers to you, Bob, Lieutenant Anello, and now just Corporal Orson Vargas.
Okay. I don't suppose I can talk to any of them.
You could try to through Bob if you wanted to.
Oh, no, to our guys.
If you start, like, just having a conversation, the North Vietnamese will try to shut you up. They don't want you chatting much.
All right.
It starts raining.
I'm going to keep quiet for the moment and just march.
You get to the clearing. It's a wide, open space, no helicopters in sight, and you can see those multiple empty graves. They lead you over to the graves. As they're doing that, you hear Anello start muttering under his breath. You can listen in if you want.
Yeah, I definitely do.
He's saying a rosary.
All right, and now is definitely the time to speak up. I mean, you're like, hey, Bob, tell him what I'm telling you, all right? Listen here, you guys. I'm something of a big deal in America. I'm not a soldier. I'm a journalist. I'm actually a very well-known journalist. Pulitzer Prize nominated. People are going to be wondering where I am. You know Walter Cronkite? Walter Cronkite? Just like him. Big journalist. If I don't come home, people are going to come looking. I'm a very valuable prisoner to have alive.
Bob dutifully translates. As he's translating, the officer in charge, you see like a big smile on his face. He seems very pleased with this information. And Bob relays that information. He just kind of said, good.
Oh. Okay.
They have you standing at the head of a grave each. As they're doing that, the officer in charge starts saying something in Vietnamese. You don't understand, and Bob isn't next to you anymore to translate. He seems to be giving a speech of some sort, both to his soldiers, but also to you. It sounds like he's talking to you as well. He's including you in it. As he gives the speech, Orson Vargas turns and sprints away. He just runs. He just turns around and runs. As he does so, several of the North Vietnamese soldiers level their rifles and open fire. Orson Vargas is cut down before he leaves the clearing.
Great. Well, I'm not going to try that.
Anello continues praying, but now a bit louder. The soldier standing nearest to you gestures for you to get into the grave.
Listen, man, what? Let's talk this out. All right, there's got to be another option. I don't want to get down in there, man.
The soldier presents the butt of his rifle, which for a brief second your mind is like, what? And then the butt of the rifle comes to meet your head.
I should have foreseen that. All right.
You take 2 points of bashing damage. It wouldn't be lethal. 2 points of bashing damage, and you need a roll to stay conscious, because that was enough to nearly knock you out. You're knocked unconscious.
Son of a bitch.
You wake up inside the grave. There is a soldier. The soldier who butted you with the rifle is standing over you, holding you up by the, like, lapels, if you will, of your shirt. You hear he, like, leans down to look at you, and he says, in broken English, prepare to meet the maker, American. And then he plunges you underwater.
Yo, fuck that. I'm fighting back as hard as I can.
The second your head is underwater, you're no longer in the grave. You're drifting in a massive expanse of empty blackness. It feels like you're under the ocean. The aura here is oppressive and incredibly large. You just get the feeling of being in a space too big to comprehend. Like,
can
some,
I breathe?
You open your mouth and you realize right now you don't need to breathe. You can't, but it doesn't seem to be bothering you at all.
Okay. Do I have my body?
You have your body. It's like you and your clothes are just in an empty sea of nothing. You realize as well that you're drifting through it, but you're not actually in water. You like move and it's like you're in air, not in water.
Do I still have Bob's camera?
You do.
I'm gonna take a picture.
You do so. In the empty expanse of nothingness, something shifts. Something big and ancient and unknowable.
Motherfucker.
You, in the same strange way that you know that you're in a sea of nothingness bigger than you can comprehend, you also understand that the thing that is here with you is bigger than you can comprehend. And for a brief moment, mentally within your mind, you hear the word majesty. Then you burst out of the water. You're in the grave. There's no soldiers here. Not in the grave, at least.
Is it still night?
No, you're not sure what time it is. It's daytime, though.
I'm going to climb up the fuck out of that grave.
As you do so, you see Bob and Anello climbing out of graves separate to you.
I rush over to help Bob.
Bob slowly climbs out and ambles over to you as well. You're both of you are limping very heavily. Anello climbs out of his on his own power. As that happens, you hear... Tuck, 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 tuck.
I look up. Like, if that's a helicopter, then I look up.
You look up and you see a helicopter passing overhead. On the side, it says Army.
Is there, if there's a flash on that camera, I'm going to be just firing the flash off as much as I can and waving my arms around.
The helicopter turns and banks towards you. As it gets closer, you can hear, "It ain't me. It ain't me. I ain't no fortunate son." As it banks and turns as well, you can see that down one side of the helicopter is an awful looking gash. Half of this helicopter, not half, but part of this helicopter has been torn away. You recognize the helicopter.
Oh, I forget the name of it. I don't even remember the name. It looks like an angel to me.
You recognize Hornet.
That's it.
As it gets lower to the ground, the gunner side opens up on the hill just north of you. You hear, tuck, 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 and then bullets start tearing through the trees up there. There's a light smattering of returning fire, but then when the helicopter lands, it turns in such a way that it lets you on easily, but it can't return fire easily. The crew chief, you recognize Sergeant Carlo Farrell, gestures out of the helicopter for you to get on.
I tell him, "You were right. You look just like an angel."
Farrell laughs and then looks at the three of you, Bob, and Anello, as you sprint and then jump into the helicopter. When the last of you, I'd say maybe you and Bob are at, oh, no, actually, Anello... You and Bob move very slowly, but Anello was just standing there for a little while before he started running. So he was last on as well, actually. As Anello climbs into the helicopter, Farrell turns to look at each of you and yells over the helicopter, "Where's the rest of you?"
I shake my head.
Farrell, for the first time since you've met him, gives you like a dark look and then nods. He slams on the side of the helicopter near where the pilot and co-pilot are and then gives like a takeoff signal. The helicopter slowly lifts, and as it does, Farrell gets back on the machine gun and starts firing back into the trees. You can see there are retreating North Vietnamese soldiers. You're not 100% sure. Maybe you just imagined this, but you feel like in among the trees, you see that officer, that strange North Vietnamese, maybe Chinese officer staring out at you as you fly away. And on his face, there is a big smile.
I start going through whatever notes are still in my pockets, mm-hmm. trying to piece together a story.
It is now that you realize you are bone dry.
Was I dry when I came out of the other grave too, the first time?
You try to think. You only went like boot deep in. It would have touched your pants actually, but you were already wet, so you might not have noticed. Right.
Do I still have my flask?
You check your flask, yeah.
Holy shit. I turn and I look at Bob and I look down at my notes. I hand him his camera and I quietly say, "Pulitzer fucking Prize, Bobby."